Okay, so I want to begin this morning by quoting some song lyrics. And just as I read them out, if anyone can tell me, just maybe put your hand up or shout it, where they're from. This may be people of a certain age, but I'll go for this, okay? So, making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Now, anyway, this is a bit of a tricky one. Danny? It's the theme tune. This is completely on the moment. And the theme tune from the American sitcom Cheers, which was a massive hit in the 80s and 90s. Don't worry if you've never seen it. But lyrics there, the song goes on. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. Now, I mentioned that part because I heard it on the radio recently. There was a very good cover version by the Irish singer Foy Vance. Look it up on YouTube. It's a really beautiful way. He just strips it down and plays it. But also, I just really enjoyed the sitcom as a boy. It's sort of set in a Boston bar of the same name, of Cheers. And as a kid, I just loved it. And all I wanted to do was to head to my local pub and to meet the cast of charming characters and find lifelong friends in that pub. And my mum never drove me there. She always refused to take me. And I never really know why. But I've always thought, actually, that song, in a really simple and maybe slightly cheesy way, but simple way, it expresses something of that human desire to belong somewhere. We want to belong to a group of people who we can be ourselves with, people we can trust, people who face the same difficulties because they understand us. And actually, I want to say the Bible says that desire comes from a good place. That desire actually comes from the way we're created. We are actually built, says the Bible, to belong. God created us to belong to the community of his people. He created us to belong to the body of Christ, the church. And we've been thinking throughout this series on Sunday mornings about our identity in Christ, that new identity God gives to every person who puts their faith in Jesus. And according to the New Testament, every believer, every follower of Jesus can say, I am in Christ. I live in Christ. Christ lives in me. It is that intimate and close a relationship with Jesus. And we've seen actually that we've looked at that against sort of a backdrop of sort of a crisis of identity in our world. Those two questions people are asking again and again in our society. Who am I? And where do I fit in this world? I want to say both those questions, maybe particularly the second one, sort of link in with that desire to belong somewhere. And the invitation of the gospel is we can answer those questions because of Jesus. If we trust in Jesus, we can answer those questions. Who am I? I am in Christ. I'm united with Christ. Nothing can change that. Where do I fit in the world? I fit with Christ. I belong to his people. I'm now part of the body of Christ, the church. We've been thinking about our union with Christ throughout this series, but this morning we want to see it is a corporate identity. It is absolutely fundamental. We see this isn't just something for us as individuals. We are in Christ corporately with all other believers in this church family, but actually amazingly around the world too. And if you want to understand something about the Bible's teaching on the church, on the body of Christ, there's no better place to go really than the letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians, if you like, is Paul's great letter on the church. And I hope you saw that when we had that first reading of chapter 1 read out to us. But I hope you also saw in that first reading that Ephesians is a great letter on union with Christ. And actually for Paul, those two things go together. We cannot understand our union with Christ without understanding it's also a union with Christ's people, the church. That is the refrain we get all the way through Ephesians. So just having a little snapshot of that. If you look at Ephesians chapter 1 again, that message in that chapter is we are united with Christ. Ephesians 1:1-14. I put it up there on the screen, but this is one long sentence in the original Greek. It's like Paul's trying to cram everything in here to explain just what it means to belong to Jesus. And he says, in Christ, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. We are chosen to be holy from before the creation of the world. We're redeemed and forgiven because of his blood. We're saved by him. We're included in him when we trust the gospel. We're marked by the Holy Spirit. See, for Paul, it's so important for Christians to understand all these blessings are ours now in Christ. Jesus has won those benefits for us. We didn't earn them. We don't deserve them. Jesus won them, and he shares them with us. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we can now say we are united with Christ. We are in Christ. We've seen that throughout this series, if you've been around. But Paul is equally clear in Ephesians. We're not just united with Christ. We are united with other believers. Take a look at chapter 2 and verse 12. For a moment, chapter 2, verse 12. Here, Paul is describing the reality of the world before Jesus, the great dividing wall that existed between the Old Testament people of God, the Jews, and the rest of the world, the Gentiles, before the coming of Jesus. Ephesians 2, verse 12. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. It's a really bleak picture, deliberately bleak picture. Paul's saying that is what life used to be like before Jesus. But then all that has changed, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. He's saying Jesus has come along and he unites people who once were divided. Again, the imagery here is really similar to that, if you think of the old Berlin Wall in Germany, erected in the 1960s to kind of divide individuals, families, communities in Berlin, one from another. One side was communist, one side was not. Throughout the period of the Cold War, that wall was a huge symbol of division in that community. But then in 1989, the wall came down. It was demolished. Now, it's always interesting to know that the American singer and actor David Hasselhoff actually claims the credit for that. He said he did a concert on the wall. His single at the time was number one in the German charts. David Hasselhoff was very big in Germany. He's actually a very big man anywhere, but he's very big in Germany. And his song was called Looking for Freedom. And so Hasselhoff actually does claim he played a part. But here, Paul says in Ephesians, Jesus is the ultimate Hasselhoff. He is a wall-smashing savior. Jesus came along, this dividing wall that existed right the way across humanity. And Jesus, says Paul, broke it down. He demolished that wall, and he unites people from every nation into his church, into the community of his people. And we see throughout Ephesians, there's loads of different pictures used and to describe the people of God. You've got the people of God from every nation in chapter 2. You've got the family of God, or the household of God is a very precious one in this letter. You've got here, we're like the temple of God, where God lives by his Spirit. We're bricks built together in the church. But for the rest of our time this morning, we're going to focus on the real dominant picture in this letter, and it's this, that the church is the body of Christ. It's a really startling image, but it's hugely helpful to us to understand that we are one with Christ. Christ is the head of the body, and we're one with each other in the church. We are united together in Christ. And Paul writes about this image in Ephesians and 1 Corinthians, a few different places. The church is the body of Christ. But he didn't come up with the idea on his own. You might think, well, this is Paul just being a very clever communicator. But actually, Jesus himself gave Paul this picture. If you know the story in Acts chapter 9, where Paul, who was originally called Saul, he was a violent persecutor of Christians. He was on his way to Damascus to lock up some more Christians, and suddenly a light from heaven flashes. He falls to the ground and he hears a voice speaking to him from heaven, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And it's the voice of Jesus. And of course, you would think, well, Paul could say, well, no, I'm not persecuting you, Jesus. I'm persecuting your followers. I never met you. I don't know you, Jesus. But Jesus reveals to him there, if you persecute my people, you're persecuting me. They are my body. They are that close to me. They matter so much to me that they are my body. You persecute the church, you persecute Jesus. In the same standard, if you love the church, if you love other Christians, you love Jesus. And I think that picture of the body of Christ really helps us deal with that question that everyone asks at various points in their life, whether you're first exploring the claims of Jesus for yourself. You're going, well, what does this mean to follow Jesus? Whether you've just begun to trust him, whether you've been a Christian for years, the question always comes, well, do you have to go to church to be a Christian? Often people say, well, I love Jesus, but I hate the church. I hate religion. Why bother going to church? But actually, for Paul, it's just a false question, because the church is the body of Christ. Our attitude to the church, really strikingly and challengingly, is our attitude to Christ. Now, let's be clear. The church has done terrible things historically. The church is not perfect. Far from it. But Jesus loves his church. He loves the community of his people, and he calls for everyone he claims to love him to join that community of his people. Because this image of the body of Christ helps us see, not only is Jesus the head of that body, but every single Christian, every single believer has a part to play for that body to grow and function as it should. So let's just think about what that means as we look to that passage in Ephesians 4, if you want to turn to that if you've skipped it. So Ephesians 4, 14 to 16. First of all, just a bit of intro, verses 4 to 6, Paul begins by kind of emphasizing the unity of believers that believers now have in Christ. Verse 4, there is now one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Do we get the point Paul's making here? He says we are one in Christ, one. Think about what unites you, Ephesians, not what divides you. But Paul knows that's not the whole picture. So he goes on to say believers are wonderfully different and diverse in Christ. Look down at verse 11 for a minute. We see that Jesus gives a variety of gifts to his church, and those gifts are mostly people. Jesus gives people to his church. Verse 11, Christ himself gave the church the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Now, we don't have time to go into that in any detail, but we need to see that. Actually, the way God equips his church, Jesus equips his body, is through Christians. We all have a part to play in this church, a church that's exciting in its diversity. We are not called to be clones, to all look the same, to all think the same. We are called to be diverse in Christ. And we need one another if we're to live out our identity in Christ. That's what Paul wants. He wants a healthy, functioning body. We each have a part to play, says Paul. And we don't naturally always think like this. It's very easy to make our relationship with Jesus just about me and Jesus. I want Jesus to bless me. I want to know more about Jesus. And I can kind of do that on my own. I guess we pointed out that we live in a golden age where if you've got a decent internet connection, you actually don't need to meet with other Christians at all, because you can listen to the best song, like the music of Hillsong in Australia. You could listen to sermons by Tim Keller from New York. You could have reflections motivated by YouTube, beautiful clips that will really stir your spirit. And you think, well, why do I need to get out of bed? I've got a laptop, I've got an internet connection, that is all I need. But you see, Paul says here, no, you are the body of Christ, and each part has its part to play in the growth of his church. He is the head, we are the body, and we need one another. That's what he wants to tell us here. We're the body of Christ, and we need one another. And he gives us three practical things here of what we need from each other as a church. First of all, verse 14, he says, we need one another to see through the lies of this world. Look down at verse 14. Paul paints a really vivid picture of what life is like when we have no connection to Christ. Verse 14, he says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. It's this picture of people being tossed about by the ocean. They don't know which way up, which way is up, which way they're going. And actually, I want to say verse 14, you could use that as a really powerful description of a society that is cut off from God, cut off from Christ. We see all around us people tossed back and forth by the waves. Our world tells us you can be whoever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. Everything is up for grabs. So we move from relationship to relationship, from job to job, from place to place, from friendship group to friendship group, and we're just tossed back and forth because we're believing the lies of our world, that we don't need other people, that actually we're fine on our own. Because those lies just lead to anxiety and exhaustion and loneliness. Anxiety, have I chosen the right path? Exhaustion, can I keep this up? And loneliness, I just feel like I don't know where I fit. That is the contrast Paul paints to being part of the body of Christ. But then verse 16, he says, we need one another positively to grow into and live out our identity in Christ. Verse 16, for from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It's a brilliant picture of a healthy and growing body. And it's a picture we want to grasp more of here at Avenue. Actually, this is a picture that shaped this church right from its inception, long before I was here. That those core values, everyone involved, a loving family. The center of gravity in any church always becomes sort of, well, there's a few people do things and the rest of us maybe sit back. But actually, no, says Paul, as each part does its work, that is how the body functions. There's amazing grace here. That we are the body of Christ. We don't have to earn that. We don't have to manufacture that. Jesus brings us into the closest relationship possible with him. But there's also an invitation. Be the body of Christ. Play your part in this body. If it's going to be healthy and grow, it's like Jesus saying to each one of us, come and help me build my church. Come and help my body to function healthily. And part of the grace in that is that that's how we understand all that Jesus is and all he has for us. We've said throughout this series, to understand I am in Christ, Christ is in me, that takes a long time to grasp. But that's a reality that we grow into in relationship with each other. We cannot understand that in isolation from each other. I need you to understand it. You need me to understand it. We need to understand this together. We are in Christ. What does it mean that Jesus loves us? What does it mean that Jesus can be trusted? What does it mean that Jesus actually has good purposes for us? We only learn that as we share our lives together. It's a picture of growth here. And I hope you've heard us say a number of times the last 18 months or so, we want to grow at Avenue. We want to grow spiritually in understanding all that Jesus has done for us. And we want to grow numerically as other people put their faith in Jesus through our witness. And how does that happen? Well, Paul tells us in that middle verse, verse 15, it happens as we speak the truth in love to one another. Now, speaking the truth in love, that can apply to evangelism, actually. But Matthew's doing that seminar tonight on that. Speaking the truth in love, telling other people about who Jesus is. Loving them enough to share that. We're going to think more about that tonight and next week. But here, I think Paul's primary focus is speaking the truth in love to one another as God's church, as people already part of the body of Christ. And what does that mean? Well, I think it's a funny thing, speak the truth in love. It's a great phrase. We've often kind of turned it into sort of permission to slag one another off. So speak the truth in love basically means no offense. Speaking the truth in love, you look rough. It's kind of a blank check to criticize. I don't think that's what Paul's saying here. The truth he refers to here is the gospel. The truth is who Jesus is and who we are in him. That's what Paul wants the Ephesian Christians to be speaking to one another. That's what he calls every healthy church to be committed to speaking to one another. Remind one another regularly of the gospel. Remind one another of Jesus, who he is, what he's done, how much he loves us, and how much he calls us to love one another. And we need to speak the truth in love because, verse 14, we live in a world full of lies. A world that says God doesn't care about you. You're better off without God. You're better off on your own. To combat that, we need to hear the truth, and we need to hear it from one another regularly as we live out the gospel together in community. So to be the body of Christ means we need to spend time together. We need to meet together like this on a Sunday in home groups, but throughout the week, we need to get to know each other, to pray for one another and with one another, commit to living alongside one another in the long haul. We are the body of Christ and we need one another, says Paul. There's loads of things I love about the job I have, the role I have. One thing I don't always enjoy is when I see someone drifting away. And sometimes I have to have one of the last conversations with them. And many of us maybe have experienced this, of someone who has decided to walk away from the faith. And I've had a few of those in recent years. And they're all different. Everyone will have different reasons why. But actually, there is a common thread in all of them that each one of those individuals just slowly began to give up meeting with other Christians. There just began to be a distance. Other things became more important than their union with Christ and their union with Christ's people. And that means we actually place ourselves in danger when we neglect time together, when we neglect the need to meet together. Give up meeting with your church family, and no one's going to be telling you the truth in love. You might still read a Christian book, you might still listen to a few things online, but no one knows you and what's going on in your life. See, verse 16 says, your church family needs you if it's going to grow, and you need your church family if you are going to grow. That's like the negative side of this, if you like. But more positively, actually, I think Paul is making an amazing invitation in verse 15 here. He says, as we speak the truth in love to one another, we ourselves get to know the truth better. As we remind one another of who Jesus is and who we are in him, actually, we ourselves are reminded and strengthened in that. As we seek to love one another, we ourselves experience love from other Christians in ways that we didn't imagine possible. How many times you just don't want to turn up to a home group or a social gathering with some other church people? And actually, at the end, you kind of go, I needed that. I needed that reminder that we're in this together. I needed that reminder that actually, these guys' troubles are the same as mine. As I was thinking about this week, I was remembering my best friend as a teenager. And actually, it was really a good time, actually, the impact he had in my life. His name was David. I've not changed his name to protect him, but he doesn't live here. And as a teenager, I would have called myself a Christian. I was a professing Christian, but actually, verse 14 pretty much describes me. I was just tossed back and forth by the waves of whatever TV program I just watched. It wasn't all Cheers. There were other ones involved, But basically, I was a sucker for it. I would just come in the next day, go, oh, I saw this and this. Oh, yeah. And my friend Dave, he was a Christian, and thank God he had more roots in the faith than I did. And he would listen really patiently, but often go, he'd call me Rick, which was nice. Rick, I don't think you've thought this through. No, I'm not sure about that. And we talk about it. And I would regularly call him a bigot, because that's the sort of friend I was. But actually, he spoke the truth in love to me. And he spoke the truth in love, actually, because I was never in any doubt he was my friend. I was never in any doubt that he was committed to me. And teenage boys don't really say those sort of things, but in hindsight, you go, oh yeah, he was. He was. And he spoke the truth in love, and he challenged me when I needed challenging, and he stuck by me, and we spent time together. We didn't just portion in, let's have a deep talk. It just happened as we spent time together. And I genuinely thank God today for my friend David. And I think that is an amazing invitation to me to play that part in other people's lives and to all of us to play that part. Will we speak the truth in love to one another? Because the truth is glorious. The truth is we are in Christ and Christ is in us. The truth is we are the body of Christ. United with Christ, united with one another. That desire to belong somewhere. We belong with Christ and with each other. And we will only function and grow as each part does its work. As we each speak the truth in love to one another. We need one another, says Paul, to live out our new identity in Christ. If we ever get moved or excited by, oh, Jesus is amazing, but that doesn't lead us to loving other Christians, we're actually missing out. We're skewering the gospel into something just very individual and me-centered. Here Paul says, it's about the body. The body needs to grow and function. And for that to happen, each part does its work as we speak the truth in love to each other. On one level, it's a high calling. But on the other level, it is an invitation to belong. It's an invitation to find out what it means to love others the way Christ first loved us. And it's an invitation to be part of something, part of what Jesus is doing in this world, building his church, rescuing people, transforming lives, and bringing them as close to him as it is possible to be. We are the body of Christ, united with one another. And we need to hold those things together. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads for a minute. Father God, you know each one of our hearts. And you know, Lord, more than we do, how far short your church, your people, often fall from the high callings to love as you first loved us. Perhaps there are people here this morning who do feel hurt and let down by your people. And as a result, maybe feel tempted to just retreat, to keep people at arm's length. Father God, please, would you reveal to us your good and loving purposes in placing us in community with your people, that there are things we can only learn as we live alongside one another, as we are called to love one another, forgive one another, serve one another. Lord, help us to see that reality of the body of Christ, that if we love Jesus, we will love his people. And we are his people. We are the body of Christ, loved by Jesus, protected by Jesus, nourished by Jesus. Father, give us great security in that identity, we ask. And show us, Lord, even now, even today, and in the coming weeks, what part it is you have for us to play in speaking the truth in love to others, in seeing this church family grow, whether that is someone who already knows you, who needs to be reminded of some aspect of who you are, whether even, gloriously, that is someone who does not yet know you, and who we can say something about you that will ultimately lead them into the body of Christ. Lord, we need your Spirit to make this a reality for us. Lord, we thank you that you have brought us as close to you as it is possible to be. Encourage us in that now, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen.